T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Welcome everyone to this episode of the Palmetto Guardian. I'm Sergeant Chelsea Weaver, and today we have an epic podcast episode for you. Joining me today is Major Carla Evans, the South Carolina National Guard's Public Affairs Director, and the 30th Adjutant General of South Carolina, Major General Robin Stillwell. We asked General Stillwell questions about his vision for the South Carolina National Guard, his strategic priorities moving forward, and much, much more. But before we dive in and bring General Stillwell onto the podcast, I'm going to share a little bit of his bio. Major General Robin B. Stillwell, a native of Greenville, South Carolina, has had a distinguished military career that spans decades. He began his service in 1985 by enrolling in the Reserve Officer Training Corps at the Citadel, where he was commissioned as an infantry officer upon graduation. His early assignments included serving as a platoon leader in Echo Company, 1st Battalion, 118th Infantry Regiment. Over the years, he has held numerous leadership positions, including deployments to Afghanistan, Kosovo, and Kuwait, and commanding roles in the 4th Battalion, 118th Infantry Regiment, the 678th Air Defense Artillery Brigade, and the 218th Maneuver Enhancement Brigade. Stillwell's many awards include the Legion of Merit with two oak leaf clusters, the Bronze Star, and the Meritorious Service Medal with three oak leaf clusters. And these are just to name a few. In his civilian career, Stillwell is a circuit court judge for the state of South Carolina. He holds a Bachelor's of Arts in English from the Citadel, a Juris Doctorate from the University of South Carolina, and a Master's of Arts in Strategic Studies from the U.S. Army War College. A distinguished graduate of the Army War College, he is also a Level 3 Joint Qualified Officer and a Liberty Fellow of the Aspen Global Leadership Network. Stillwell is married to Charlotte Stillwell, and together they have three children, Eli, Dee, and Joseph. So, let's dive into this episode with Major General Stillwell. All right. Well, welcome, sir, and thank you for joining us today. I know that it's a busy day for you. So we have several questions that we wanted to kind of go through with you now that you're the new Adjutant General for South Carolina. And I think the biggest question that everybody is curious about is it's been around 90 days since you've been the Adjutant General. And so we're just kind of curious as to how it's been so far.
Busy, busy, busy. So first of all, let me say thank you for letting me participate on the podcast. It certainly is a great opportunity for me, and I'm happy to be here with you today. So it has been very busy, and the first 90 days of my tenure as Adjutant General, we had a 90-day transition plan, and we're still in that period of time. And during that period of time, I've had the opportunity to talk to all of the directorates, staff officers, MSC commanders, to visit as many armories as I could, but also additionally talk to our external stakeholders, including other heads of departments of the state government, to members of our legislative delegation, and other people in our community who are stakeholders and supporters of the National Guard. So as a consequence of that, my calendar has been full, full, full. But I have been liking it to, you know, treading water, and I've kept my head above water, and now things are starting to slow down, and I'm slowly starting to swim. So I feel good about where I am, but more importantly, because of all of the great people in the South Carolina National Guard, I feel good about where the National Guard is.
Awesome. That's fantastic, sir. So I know that as an infantry officer, where in your career did you realize that being tagged was something that you wanted to achieve, or was a possibility, or is this something that you thought of the minute you became platoon leader? Like, that's my goal. That's what I want to do. Can you kind of tell us, like, how this came about?
Yeah, I never had aspirations or plans or intentions to be the Adjutant General in the state of South Carolina. When I came into the South Carolina Army National Guard, I really came in for one purpose, and that was to go to Ranger School. When I came in, it was during a period of severe austerity in the United States military, similar to what we're going through now, and I never could get a Ranger slot, notwithstanding the fact that I asked and asked and begged and begged. But what I did find out when I became an infantry platoon leader is that I really enjoyed the soldiers. I really enjoyed being on the ranges. I really enjoyed being in the woods. I really appreciated the people that I had the opportunity to meet and become friends with. I realized that the military, and specifically the South Carolina National Guard, gave me the opportunity to know people, to meet people, to be friends with people that I otherwise never would have had the opportunity to meet. And that was something to me that was very meaningful. And I told myself at the time, you know what, I think this is a lot of fun, and I'm going to stay in so long as it's fun. And, you know, I did that until about Colonel 06. And then it ceases to be as much fun, but you're in a position at that point where you can influence the organization and start giving back, and you can start taking care of the soldiers in the ranks. So after that, I felt like it was my obligation to continue to give back. Becoming the Adjutant General certainly is an honor and a privilege, and I readily accepted the offer, but it wasn't something that I was angling for. It wasn't something that I was intending to do. But when the call came, I thought that it was a matter of duty and it was important that I do it. I was also, again, very honored and privileged and happy to have the opportunity as well.
That's fantastic, sir. Being raised infantry, right? You had a lot of soldiers who really were glad to see you become that tag, because you did build those relationships with those soldiers throughout the years. And we got a lot of feedback that there were a lot of people who were happy. You were very popular on our social media. Mm-hmm. So I think you should, you know, be highlighted on our social media at least once a month. Just saying, sir.
Well, I do understand that perhaps there were a few people who were deluded enough to be happy about it. However, I also realized that that credibility is lost quickly if you're not doing the right thing every day and calculating all of your decisions in the best interest of the people, the soldiers, the airmen, the state guardsmen, and the employees of the military department.
So how were you able to juggle your M-Day career with the increased responsibilities that comes with the higher ranking officer responsibilities, and then also too with you being a circuit court judge and those increasing responsibilities? How did you juggle both of those at the same time?
You know, you just have to make it happen. It's one of those things that you do in your civilian life, and in your military life you'll have increasing levels of responsibility, and you set your priorities and you decide what's important to you. And you calculate your life and you organize your life so that you do those things that are important to you. I can't say that I always did a good job when you're balancing personal life, family, military career, civilian career. All I can tell you is that it was a lot of time and a lot of work, but it was also very gratifying. I think that each and every individual has to answer that question for themselves and make a determination of what is valuable to them and what are their personal and professional priorities. And once you establish that, you can live the life you want to live, so long, again, you work hard and you're honest.
Yes, sir. And speaking of priorities, you have five very clear priorities: care and concern for our people, recruiting and retention, mission essential task list training, defense, support to civilian authorities, preparedness, and again, care and concern for our people. I got a couple of emails mm-hmm. that wanted to make sure I did not make a typo when that information went out, because they saw care and concern for our people twice.
Right.
So if you could just give us a little bit of insight as to why those priorities for the South Carolina National Guard.
Yes, ma'am. Well, it's not a typo. It's care and concern for people, and the reason for that is because everything starts and ends with your people. Without good, committed, professional people in your ranks, you really can't perform your mission set. And it's articulated very clearly as people, because in the military department, you have soldiers in the Army Guard, airmen in the Air National Guard, you have state guardsmen who are part of the military department, and we also have approximately 475 civilian employees as well. So it's more than just the service members. So it's important that we keep all of those in mind, because all of those people are critical to our mission set and making us successful. So it starts with the people, of course, then recruiting and retention. And of course, that's because if you don't have soldiers in your ranks, you can't train and equip them. And it all starts with that strength. If all of your formations are tripping along at 70 or 80%, then you're not going to be at full strength and you're not going to be a competent fighting force. Then, of course, mission essential training, that answers our call and our mission set, our federal mission set, and that is to close with and engage the enemies of the United States in combat and win. And what we have to make sure is that we focus on our federal mission as the combat reserve of the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force, and understand that we are, by the taxpayers of the United States of America, man, trained, and equipped to, again, close with and engage the enemies of the United States in combat. We are a warfighting force, and there's no equivocation, there's no reservation. There's no way around that. That's what we are. And if you're in the National Guard, writ large, or the South Carolina National Guard, you have to understand that that's the primary focus. And then you go to our fourth priority, which is all hazards, hurricane, crisis response in our state mission. So, of course, we are unique in the Department of Defense in that we have a corresponding state mission as well to respond to emergencies and crises at the direction of the governor in the state of South Carolina. Now, the reason that is four and not three is because that federal warfighting mission perfectly complements our state mission. If we can perform our warfighting mission, then we can do anything else. Because ultimately what that is mustering your soldiers, deploying your soldiers, executing complicated mission sets, redeploying and reorganizing. And it's the exact same in our OCONUS mission set and in our state mission set. So, and of course, it's important that we always keep in mind that one of the most important things that we do is crisis and emergency response, because that lends credibility to our recruiting base, to our community, to our constituents. And the more we can interact with them, the more we can demonstrate that we are value-added, that we are a credible source that's working in the interest of the citizens of the state of South Carolina, the better our recruiting will be, the better our relationships with our external stakeholders will be. So it all works in combination and complements one another. Then number five, again, as we already discussed, it all starts and ends with people. So number five goes right back to care and concern for people. Because again, what I've learned over my career is this: you take care of your soldiers, they take care of you.
Yes, okay. Sir.
Now we're talking broader than soldiers, so I would amend that just to say you take care of your people, they take care of you. They are the most important asset that we have in a military organization, and you have to understand that you have to focus on them.
Absolutely. And speaking of DISCA, this kind of goes with the next set of questions. So we're just going to go roll on into that. So recently you attended the DoD installation workshop where you discussed lessons learned from last year's emergency response season. For example, Hurricane Helene and the wildfires in Myrtle Beach in the upstate. What was the biggest takeaway from that meeting?
Well, the biggest takeaway from all those meetings is just a sense of gratitude that all of those professionally people are committed enough to come together in anticipation of an event and have a conversation and begin the planning for the next event. And also, just as importantly, the process of making relationships with people to your left and to your right who will be affected and impacted and will be in the response with you. So that's the biggest takeaway. It's also important that we continue to improve our foxhole as we go forward and learn from past storms. Historically, in the state of South Carolina, as a hurricane state, we've seen hurricanes loiter off the coast of South Carolina in the Atlantic Ocean, and we can more or less measure and time its approach and its landfall. And what we've seen in the last several years is that we've had some unique storms that have come through the Gulf of Mexico. Helene, for example, was a tropical storm that landed in Florida, in the panhandle of Florida, and then came north. Well, no one ever would have anticipated, and no one predicted, that the center of gravity for destruction in the southeast of the United States was Asheville, North Carolina. So that was something that was a little bit different than us, because all of our preset forces, you know, didn't have an opportunity or weren't really postured immediately like they would be in a storm coming in off the Atlantic. So what we've had to do is kind of is rethink that. Now, let me make sure that I'm very clear when I say this. The South Carolina National Guard did not miss a single mission set. It was a 0% fail operation. And I know that if you went to the leaders in the state of South Carolina, in the government, both in the executive branch, judicial branch, and in all of the localities, they would support me in that we were 100% success in our response to Helene. But what we did learn is that you really have to have more plays in your playbook to respond to different types of storms, different types of events. We also had two very significant fires this year in Horry County and in Pickens and Greenville County as well, which really was a different type of event for us, which is, you know, a lot of firefighting from aviation, who did an unbelievably good job and were the heroes of the battle. And then also, of course, some land-based firefighters and engineers as well. But we have to continue to look at our problem sets, plan for contingencies, and make sure that we're postured in the best possible way to address the concerns and the needs of citizens in distress.
Right. And I have to tell you, sir, so while checking social media, there were a lot of comments that were really positive about the National Guard during our response to Helene. And in fact, one really sticks out to me, where a person who was living in the upstate sent an instant message through Facebook and said that they were so thankful that the National Guard was there to support, because those MREs that we were providing were the first meal she had in a couple of days because of the, you know, lack of power and people just not being able to keep food. So she was very, very thankful that we were there to sponsor.
Well, thank you for telling me that, because that inspires us to continue.
So what are some of your experiences with DISCA since before being TAG? I mean, you were in other leadership roles. So what roles have you played in with DISCA missions in that sense?
Well, I have responded, I think, to every single state emergency since 1990, with the exception of those times, those 3.5 some odd years that I was deployed overseas on deployments. So I have been a platoon leader, an infantry platoon leader responding to hurricanes. I have been a infantry company commander responding to hurricanes and also cold weather events. I have been an S3 operations officer in the 218th. I was the brigade commander of the 218th with Task Force Coastal, in command of all of the troops on the east coast of South Carolina during Hurricanes Florence and Hurricane Dorian. Subsequent to that, I was the director of the Joint Staff, which meant that I had the responsibilities of managing the National Guard response to any statewide event and any statewide hurricane. So over the last several years, we've had Adelia, we had Debbie, and then we had Helene. And in that capacity, or during those events, I was functioning as the director of the Joint Staff for the state of South Carolina. So I might have more experience than I care to have in hurricane and consequence management. But what we got to understand is that experience really only is only so good as the planning for the next storm. And you need to make sure that they're all different. It's a different response. It's not the same set of problems. And you really have to be agile intellectually, and you have to make sure that you're planning appropriately and responding with great agility and flexibility.
Do you have a most memorable DISCA event or maybe a mission or something that you were a part of?
Yeah, it would be Florence when I was the brigade commander of the 218th, because that was a very significant event. And at the height of our response, I had a task force 218. I had approximately 3,200 soldiers, airmen, state guardsmen under my command on the coast of South Carolina. If you remember correctly, there was a significant amount of flooding. And although the storm hit right at the border of South Carolina and North Carolina, it went into that Lumberton area of North Carolina, and the flooding came back into the PD. So we had significant flooding events with flooding of Nichols, flooding of areas of Horry County and Georgetown County. And it was very hectic, and we had a lot of people on the ground. And some of the things that we did that were remarkable to me is we built a huge HESCO retaining wall to retain the water in Conway, which was really a significant engineering and construction event. We called it the Great Wall of Conway. And also I was personally there, and it was for me a meaningful event. We evacuated the last people out of Nichols, some of their city administrators. The mayor wasn't there at the time, but several of his staff were there, and we took them out in high water vehicles when the water was above our waist at the time. And it was a very emotional event for them. But the thing that was really rewarding to me is they trusted us. And when we said we stayed there with them until the very last second, and when it was time to go, they came. And that was a consequence and a direct product of the relationship that we had with them.
All right, everyone, that concludes this episode of the Pomodoro Guardian. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. We decided to break this episode into a two-part, so join us next Friday for part two. For part one, we dove into General Stilwell and him being appointed the 30th Adjutant General and how things are going so far. We dove into his priorities and what those look like and why those are his priorities, as well as some information on DISCA. So next week, we're going to dive more into the personal side, his family, history, stuff like that, and see a little bit more of the personal side of General Stilwell and the importance of family and leadership. So again, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and please come back next week for part two. And if you guys like this video, make sure you give it a big thumbs up. If you haven't subscribed to our channel, make sure you hit the subscribe button, and we will catch you guys next week for part two of this episode.